Okay.
Can I clarify something for the record, or do you want us to restate our names first?
Yeah, let's restate our names here. So it's Detective Ryan Miller, 87704, Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, Sergeant.
David Gruber, ID 6029.
And Mr. and Mrs. Bernstein, if you don't mind.
Elliot Bernstein, September 30th, 1963.
Candace Bernstein, October 9th, 1972.
Okay.
And I just wanted to clarify something.
Okay.
The case seems to be kind of misinterpreted as, did Elliot sign a waiver and then that'll make everything okay?
Okay.
Okay, but whether Elliot signed a waiver or not doesn't make everything okay. Okay? Meaning the question is, did Simon Bernstein make the changes that he was alleged to have made?
Okay.
Or were the documents that were submitted on Simon's behalf fraudulent? Now, in Elliot's particular case, just so you know, that document, whether I signed it with what intent, has no bearing anymore because the document is not in the court record.
Okay.
It was never docketed. You can see that clearly in the September 13th hearing before Judge Colon. He even says it. I sent it back. It's rejected. It's garbage. Wrap it up, throw it in the garbage. Doesn't matter what Elliot's intent is when she forges. Doesn't mean all she forged it for was to try and make the alleged changes with my consent as part of the documents, the full package of documents I brought to you was complete. So when I brought you that full package of documents and showed you multiple inconsistencies in the will and the trusts, okay. What I was showing you was that all the documents together attempt to fraudulently change the beneficiaries. Kimberly Moran stuck out like a sore thumb because obviously my father, who you've also forgot to prosecute on his behalf, his forged signature somehow, was done post-mortem.
Okay.
Now when you have post-mortem forgery, what is the intent? Meaning, obviously, it wasn't the intent to say that Cy's intent, because you can't go back and do what you're doing to me, grill me on what was my intent when I signed it. And so, therefore, if she signed it and copied over it, it's okay. What about Cy's?
How about a reasonable hypothesis of innocence could be that the reason they changed it was to effectuate the wishes of Simon before his death?
Ah, that's a great point. Except the wishes of Simon before his death, we're going to show you slowly but surely, and including these letters I just gave you, weren't really to include them back in. In fact, my dad's running for his life out of the office with my brother, scared to death. There's fights that I gave you witnesses, Diana Banks, other people, the psychiatrist, who will tell you that up till the very last day of his life, he was not including them back in, that they had not stopped torturing him, that they had not brought their grandkids around as was promised, because the deal in Maine never occurred. My brother and Spallina were high pressuring my dad only weeks before he dies
but
to
on
try
this
to force him to change these beneficiaries. My brother is going mental.
Okay.
And witnesses will tell you that doors are slamming. Then all of a sudden my dad running out of the office. He's having severe problems medically that are unexplained to this point. We still don't have the medical records yet, which I'll be hopefully getting through courts, but you might want to look into that as, you know, part of the investigation, because the evidence is showing that Cy didn't do that. Now, if my dad, who's an expert estate planner for most of his whole life and literally knows trusts and everything, wanted these documents done, there'd be no need for forgery. There'd be nothing but the right documents submitted to the court. There wouldn't be improper notarizations, okay? Meaning he was an expert in this field, period. So all of that adds up to the fact that who's saying his desires and intents? Who's the one committing to that statement? Who knows Cy's? You know, my attorney says, how can you know his intent? He's dead. You're going to dig him up and ask him? How do you know what his intent was? We can only go by what's in these documents.
Now, the form, wasn't it only a waiver of accounting?
No. It was a, no. It's a waiver of accounting.
Receipt of beneficiary.
Receipt of interest.
Okay. Receipt of interest.
Which I never got.
Okay.
Okay. So it's three documents merged into one.
Right. Okay.
And you know, another question for Kimberly Moran is, and Don Tesher and Robert Spolina is simply, you didn't know about this rule? Have you ever filed cases before where you might have known about that rule and had them properly notarized according to the judge's rules?
Okay.
You know, I don't know. It sounds like a fair question. But it seems awful bizarre that, you know, and here's my lawyer's other question would have been simply, why would have Kimberly Moran, when she got those documents back from the court, mm-hmm. not gone to her boss and said, oh, I made a mistake. And then Tesher and Spolina simply went to the court and said, oh, we made a mistake. Here was what needed to be done. We didn't get it notarized. He's dead. Mm-hmm. We can't get it notarized. Mm-hmm. What's the big deal?
Well, that's what the judge was
saying. Well, but now there's a lot of what ifs in every situation
in
life.
I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying. You know, her story
okay.
seems bizarre.
And that may very
as
well be.
As a notary public who's an officer mm-hmm. of the okay. law, like you.
Well, she's not an officer of the
officer
law.
Of the law, according to what I've read in the statutes. Okay. But I might be wrong.
She doesn't have, like, arrest powers and stuff like
no,
that.
No, but she's an officer, considered an officer of the law.
Okay.
It's in there. Okay.
But, yeah, there's, I mean, there could be so many different reasons why. And if somebody doesn't want to tell me the 100% reason why, I can't strap them down and force them to do that.
Gotcha.
I can only take what they told me and work with it.
Okay. And I'm just saying, in response to that, what she told you,
okay.
the obvious question is, why? What would have been the big deal? The judge would have said, oh, the guy died and he can't obviously
that may
notarize,
very well be.
But here's all the other documents with his intent and everything else, and so we're going to wave the blah and my magic wand's over, and
yeah.
nobody would have gone. But to sit and actually forge six separate documents, including one for a dead man.
Okay.
And by the way, that's the whole problem with your argument. You can't...
I don't have an argument.
Well, the argument of that we're taking on the position of her forging the documents and my intent. Meaning she was just copying a document where my intent was.
Mr.
Something.
Bernstein, please understand that I'm not arguing anything.
Okay.
It's not an argument.
Okay.
I'm not here to debate things with you.
I'm just
you.
Saying it's the part of the report that is a little bit confusing. My intent in signing that document has really very little bearing on any of this. That's why I can't understand why we're so hung up on it. When my father's document, which you didn't address, is how do you know what his intent is?
We're going based on the phone call. Well,
correct. I can't.
The phone call is simply a what if I decide
according
to do
to you.
This.
According to you.
Well, okay. Well, somebody
and you don't say, have four siblings?
Is somebody going to. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But I'd like to, you know, have a chance to argue what they're saying.
But we don't do that. That's not what happens.
Okay.
This is not
so, okay,
court.
So four of them who were accusing of trying to change these beneficiaries.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything.
We are.
Okay.
Accusing of trying to change these beneficiaries. You know, I guess that would be their side of the story.
Okay.
So
and then
correct.
Put yourself in my shoes.
Okay.
What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to think if four people are telling you one thing? That a phone call happened in a certain manner, and one person's telling you it's slightly different.
I can't tell you what to think, but I
would. You have think, other times,
but
though.
I would think that if four people are being accused of doing a number of crimes, and their story is going to be, we didn't do it, mm-hmm. the other guys who's saying it was a crime is obviously saying
but there's
it
not
did.
A number of crimes.
So
there is
saying,
a civil
so you're
dispute.
You're saying 600 or 800 people say that? It makes it right?
I didn't say right.
Oh, okay. So I understand their point, meaning they have one position, I have the other.
It's called probable cause.
Oh, okay. Let's get, let's move on to
you
that.
You know the difference between probable cause and a civil proceeding?
I just wanted to point out that we didn't prosecute my father's signature that was forged.
He's deceased.
And therefore we can't know his intent on that document.
Okay.
And if he was ever going to sign it, or if it was even his real signature.
I have no reason to believe that it is.
Have you asked for the original?
I got the documents from you.
No, I'm asking you a specific question. Okay. Have you reviewed the original?
I got the documents from you. And if you're the complainant, why wouldn't you hand me the things that you believe are fraudulent? They're the ones that you said to work with.
Wait, wait, wait. The original document was deposited with Robert Spallina, supposedly.
So
how would I have
sit here and continue to argue?
Well, I'm just asking, how would I have my dad's original document? I handed you the copies that I got, correct?
What we need in a criminal case is probable cause. What we need at trial is preponderance of the evidence. With a phone call that four or five, six people are present, and there's one person saying it didn't go that way, but everyone else is saying, no, it did go this way, what are we to present?
Great. Let me tell you something. Whether they say that or not, again, irrelevant. The question is,
it's very relevant
if Simon never did the documents.
Well, a phone call isn't signing a
correct.
Document.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right. This is saying Sy's intent at that minute might have been that. It might have changed 5 minutes later.
Maybe.
Right.
Okay.
So, again, that's all
I'm
saying.
You're trying to get me to get involved in your civil argument.
No.
That is not relevant.
No. I was asking you, did you see Simon's original signature on the waiver?
On the waiver of accounting.
That he's supposed to have
signed. I used what you gave me.
Okay, and I've asked you to get the originals multiple times. The originals won't be with the court.
We've also asked to meet with you multiple times.
But if you ask Robert Spallina to bring the original documents in to verify them legally.
I met with him.
No, I didn't ask if you met
with him. Okay, now you're getting back into civil stuff.
No, this is criminal. Meaning, was my dad's signature on that document a legit one? Or was it another forged signature? How do we know that the first document wasn't forged? And then the second document is still a forge.
We're going to move forward.
Well, wait.
We're going to move forward.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is an argument with you. I don't understand why. I cannot do
my
job
efficiently. I'm asking a simple question, sir. Did you look at original documents?
Asked and answered.
So
done.
No is the answer?
Asked and answered. Over.
Okay.
Do you want to proceed?
Yeah.
Okay. So, here. This conversation was going to all 10 grandkids, right? For both trusts. The phone call in May. Is that what Simon says?
No. Simon said he was considering.
Okay. Is that what the phone call entailed?
Simon was considering looking at doing
okay.
that
Consider.
Proposal. Correct.
Then he passes. Correct?
Months later.
Well, the phone call, then the alleged documents, and then he passes in September.
No. The documents don't come in until after he's deceased.
Okay, they were potentially signed in July.
Okay, but we don't get them until after he's
deceased. That may be.
Okay. That's what I'm saying, right? Okay. So from May to July.
Grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
not 10 grandchildren.
Okay.
That doesn't specify a number?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't name them.
Just grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
In the alleged documents.
Okay, then he passes.
Then they're deposited with the court.
Okay.
But they're withheld from the beneficiaries.
That may be.
Okay.
No,
just saying.
So after this, were there some distributions of funds? Did somebody contact you about distributing some funds?
No.
Nobody ever contacted.
After when?
After he passed.
At any point.
Right? Oh yeah, recently.
Okay. Right after he passed, right?
No.
Or was it a year later, maybe?
When were the gotta be over it.
Like a year later,
right?
Approximately, August of 2013.
Right.
Okay, so during that time frame, did you have any involvement in this, or what was going on?
Well, right after he died, they wouldn't give us the documents showing that my brother's trustee and wouldn't give us these documents.
Okay.
And I'm saying, hey, where are the documents? You were supposed to deliver documents in May to me. If there were changes made, I was never informed by my father. I never got any documents confirming anything from you. I got one piece of paper. and you were supposed to send me all these other things. Where are the documents? I'm a beneficiary of my mother's estate for now over 2 years, and you won't give me the documents.
Okay.
What is going on here? So we go back and forth, and I am finally go to get counsel, and I'm threatened that if I get counsel, and I've given you a witness, Mark Garbrill was on the phone at the time, he's a lawyer, when they threatened me and told me, if you go to, you know, a lawyer, we're not going to deal kindly with you. Well, at that moment...
Who's they?
Selena. And at that point, Tessa was on the phone too.
Okay.
And at that point, what happened was they came up with... there was an insurance policy that they were missing the trust for.
Okay.
And that they wanted me to sign a waiver that I was waiving
a release.
Again, releasing that I was okay with this whole scheme to create a new trust, post-mortem no less, newly designed kind of trust that people do after they die.
Okay.
That would put my brother as trustee, and it would name the five children who those four other children believe is them, based on a document that doesn't exist, hasn't been given to the Northern Illinois court, and the judge is plenty pissed about it. But they asked me to sign this thing, and I said, oh, I need counsel. First of all, I thought the insurance, if it's a lost trust, there's no beneficiary under Florida law, then it goes to the insured's estate. That's plain old factual Florida law.
Okay.
So
where did this policy originate out of?
What, the insurance carrier?
Where did he get the policy?
I have no idea.
Okay. So you don't know if he signed the paperwork down here?
I have no idea. So in 1995 or something, I have no idea where he was, what he was doing. So, Cy, well, here, but this is all happening here in Florida.
I understand that, but
okay.
I need to know where the policy originated out of.
I don't know, but it was here last, it was supposed to be in his possession, supposedly. Now, by the way, the policy is also lost at this point.
Okay.
It hasn't been made a part of the lawsuit, along with the missing trust, who's the plaintiff. It doesn't exist, which is quite baffling in and of itself, and might be more evidence of fraud in trying to convert assets out of the estate to improper beneficiaries, the four siblings who are, you know, committing a host of other things, including the jewelry theft, which I filed the complaint with here as well. Again, those same four. And can we put up the jewelry theft?
I'm not working anything with the jewelry theft. We can discuss it, but if that's not up to me, that's out of this district.
I haven't gotten a call back
okay.
on that.
I told you could call District 7.
I did.
Right?
I left 3 messages now.
Okay.
And so I haven't gotten any response on that. I don't know, you know what that is. It's been several months.
Okay.
But anyways, we'll hold on that for a minute and go back to the life insurance. So I get this call. I say, you know, wait a minute. If the grandchildren are supposed to be the beneficiaries according to your documents, alleged documents, then, or me and my two sisters, according to the last known possibly valid 2008 documents, then how can we change the beneficiaries to us, the five of us, without conflict? And then the release asks us to waive the rights of our children who we're supposed to be trustees for while we're sticking the money in our pockets. Okay, you follow that?
Okay.
Okay, so you're acting as trustee for your child, and you're going to make a decision that deprives your child of money and puts it into your own pocket. You know, to me that sounded fraudulent right there. By the way, part of their reason to do this plan and scheme, and we have the documents, I believe I've tendered them to you, and they're in the court documents, was to defraud creditors. And I wrote that. I said, what are you guys doing? You know, defraud a creditor of the estate? You know, this guy Stansberry, and now just today I learned there's another creditor to the estate. He's got some real funny claims, too. But a good friend of my father's. And so I wasn't going to commit fraud, as they've continuously wanted me to commit fraud, because then I've given them implied consent and waiver on this if I take money or do anything, which is why I'll reject anything till we discover if it's fraudulent. So I hired Christine Yates,
okay,
who they abused. I've given you, you know, letters between Christine and another attorney where they discuss that, you know, it was abusive, that you're going to have to litigate just to get documents. Okay. They tell us that the insurance company denied a claim that was made and that they had to get a probate court order to approve that insurance scheme. So they tell us, we're going to get a probate court order. Yet, secretly, without my notice, 4/5 of them went and filed a breach of contract suit in Illinois.
Okay.
Against the insurance company, claiming the insurance company had breached the contract. Now, quite insanely, there's no contract at this point that's been produced by the insurance company or the other side, my siblings. So, and that brings us to another issue that happened here in Boca with Robert Spallina and Kimberly Moran.
Okay.
I've got those documents. You got them? Document girl? Nor there. With Spallina. Oh, right there, I got it. No, I got them. And I got the full thing I need. Where Robert Spallina and Kimberly Moran then file the insurance claim they filed that's allegedly breached is filed by Robert Spallina, who signs as the trustee of the lost trust.
Okay.
Which he claims he's never seen. So now he's the trustee of it. Okay? Even though in the other, the settlement and release letter, it says that Ted was the trustee, according to what they believed. It's a best guess, according to Spallina.
And Shirley's trust.
And what?
That Ted was the trustee in Shirley's trust.
No, Ted's the trustee of the lost insurance policy.
Okay.
So they say to us, oh, in this new replacement post-mortem trust, we're considering and getting a probate court order to do because the insurance company said we have to do that. Ted's alleged to be the supposed trustee, according to their best guess. Robert Spallina even says it's a best guess, but Ted was the trustee according to what we best guess.
Okay.
But then he goes and files an insurance claim.
Okay.
And he signs as the trustee of the 1995 Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust.
Okay.
Document he claims he never saw before. Document he claims Ted is the trustee for.
Okay.
Fascinating. Who sends that letter in for him? Kimberly Moran, our friend. The insurance company, obviously, and I put in some of their notes from their records, red flags go up. It looks like they're starting some kind of investigation. Who's this Robert Spallina? Nowhere is he mentioned. You can see all that in the documents.
And it got sent to where?
To the insurance company. Now, that's interesting. They're in, what town in Illinois? Heritage is, oh, here, it's right here. They're in,
Lexington?
What? Not Lexington, but I called that police department. They told me to come back to you first.
But those documents got sent to Chicago.
From
area.
To Heritage.
From
well, not Chicago, but it's Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Illinois?
Correct.
Okay.
That's why it's confusing. And so, and I'll give you these for photocopying as well.
Okay.
Now, this gets worse. Yeah, if you didn't think it could get worse, it gets a lot worse. Mr. Spallina tells the insurance company, now, there's two beneficiaries on a life insurance policy usually. Mm-hmm. You have a primary and a contingent. If the primary is gone, dead, whatever, the contingent becomes the beneficiary. In this plan, because it went into a complicated trust that my father created these trusts for a lot of people throughout the nation called VIBAs, the primary beneficiary is a trust, LaSalle National Trust N.A., which is an institutional trust company. Mr. Spallina makes representation basically that he's not only the trustee of the lost 1995 trust, but he's the trustee of LaSalle National Bank.
Okay.
At which point he has letters drafted to him by Heritage for several months saying, "Dear trustee," and it's addressed to LaSalle National Trust N.A., C.O. Robert Spallina, LaSalle National Trust N.A., Trustee Robert Spallina, Attorney at Law, 4855 Technology Way, Suite 720, Boca Raton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the breach of contract suit they filed, they claim that LaSalle National Trust N.A., was acquired by Bank of America when Bank of America acquired LaSalle National Bank. Not true. LaSalle National Trust was acquired by Chicago, and I'm not 100% sure about this, it's in my documents, but Chicago Land Trust something.
Chicago Title Land and Trust or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mr. Spallina is making that representation, we believe, because this way he's covered both the primary and contingent beneficiaries. If the insurance company thinks he's the trustee of LaSalle, well, that's the primary beneficiary. Here, hand Mr. Spallina the money and have a nice day. If he's the if that failed and they went to the contingent, he signed the claim form. And by the way, there's a whole list of, I think, in the insurance company's thing, how many crimes it is to fraud it.
Okay, jurisdiction, though, comes with some of this stuff.
Okay, yeah. No, I figure you did it here in Boca with Moran. The conspiracy occurred in their office together. It would be a document here. That was
Well, it could also be a document where the document landed.
You tell me where the jurisdiction is. If it's not yours, I'll go to the appropriate people. He said, you know, in the end, you're going to have to bring in the feds anyways on some of this. So the guy in Jacksonville who, you know, just was giving me his...
Okay.
Opinion of it. And I can give you his name and number as well if you'd like that. But the point is that, you know, again, we're moving assets out of a state here in Florida, and we're doing it through a whole host of crimes that might occur in a variety of places. At his office, sent to Illinois, they then move it into a federal court. Now, that's interesting too. As we move into the breach of contract, so the insurance company says, "Hey, goodbye, Mr. Spallina. We need proof that you're a trustee and that you've got a claim to this policy. Or go get a court." Well, he can't give the proof. So he provides a bunch of incomplete documents to them trying to make it a case that he should get the money into his trust account in Florida at his law firm.
Okay.
And the insurance company says, "No way, Jose, ain't gonna happen. You're gonna need a court order." That's where the court order comes in. So it even appears that they had already kind of gone down the path of fraud when they got caught. Now, of course, they didn't come to me and say, "Oh, we got caught in a fraud and the insurance company's denying this claim based on Robert filling this crazy claim out as the trustee of LaSalle National Trust Company and the trustee of a lost trust." They came to us and said, "The trust is missing, we need a court order."
Okay.
Not quite the whole truth. Okay, so at that point, this policy gets rejected for those reasons. Not really a breach of contract, by the way, because the contract has clauses in it that you have to prove beneficial interest. You can't just say, "Hey, I'm Detective Miller, Elliot's friend. Here's my claim form, pay me."
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way, okay? And that's kind of what they did. And so they then took that, what they allege is a breach, to a court and filed a lawsuit against the insurance company for breach of contract.
And your brother-in-law filed that, right?
Yes. No, my brother-in-law's brother.
Okay.
And so... Well, my brother-in-law's law firm.
Okay.
And his brother as the acting counsel of that law firm for the suit. And so they don't tell me that. I get sued by the insurance company who says, you know, 4/5 of the Bernsteins, obviously one of them is missing. So they sued me. So I have to come in as a third party. I come in and I'm looking at, you know, A, first of all, their own letters say they can't do anything without all five of us in agreement and everything. So obviously going and filing a suit with four of us seems to be a little bit bothersome. They filed the lawsuit. There's no plaintiff at this moment. The plaintiff does not exist. They were unable to produce the trust. They're trying to switch their stories because the judge got very disturbed in one of the things and chastised my brother-in-law's brother for where's the plaintiff? Where's this trust? How are you suing under a non-existent entity? Which he still has got to address in a minute. It should be interesting. But the bottom line is the crime I believe is occurring here is the attempt to convert and commingle the assets into Mr. Spallina's trust account through a series of frauds. And then when that series of frauds fail, they try the different approach by the breach of contract, which again now is fraud on a federal court, in my allegation. Okay? And so, you know, again, you guys tell me where the jurisdiction lies, I'll be there overnight. I was sent back here by the Jacksonville
Police.
You called
Jacksonville?
I did.
Illinois Police?
Correct. And they told me to come
back
here.
Spoke to them?
Yes, spoke to them, talked to the detective, have a case number. He said, I can call them back if you think it's in his jurisdiction, however you want to play it.
Well, that's where the documents landed, and that's how we always do things. Because if things come here, even though they came from Illinois or wherever, we work it. Because once the first person receives it, that's when
you
have
an utterance. I'll come back today and tell
me that.
And now he can call you, right?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I have a question going back to that. Right at the beginning, assuming that with the other insurance plans that they had, because this life insurance mm-hmm. was, you know, older than these even, that assuming that the beneficiaries before the changes here were of the life insurance, Elliot, Jill, and Lisa, mm-hmm. like everything else. Okay. After Cy died, Ted started forwarding all of his mail to his house, not to Spallina's house or office where it should
have gone. Forwarding all of Simon's mail.
All of Simon's mail to Ted's.
Okay.
And he took control of the house, his offices. Ted went in, changed the locks, fired all of Cy's employees, got everybody out of there. And then we come into, and many people who have worked with Cy over the years have always said he kept meticulous records. Mm-hmm. He was a life insurance pioneer and estate planner for many, many years. And they said, how would he not have his own life insurance trust and life insurance policy right there? He did this for 50
okay.
years. This was his profession. He kept meticulous records. So we get to the point to where Ted becomes in control of everything, and now everything's missing.
Okay.
The trust is gone, the this is gone. So then they start saying, well, the only way that we can get this policy, now that it's missing, because obviously Ted found it and said, Elliot, Jill, and Lisa,
no,
doesn't
you don't
benefit
know that.
Me.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
We don't want
well,
to speculate because...
This is where the intent comes in as to why they come up with this scheme now to put themselves...
Mm-hmm.
Am I speculating too much?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Because
I'm emotional.
No, that's a good question.
That's a good question, but this
just
is what I was...
Just trying to go back to what the motive is of where, because they...
Hold on.
This is what I've been told by a couple people, that it was supposed to be to the five kids. And, I mean...
Did they give you any evidence?
No, but neither of you.
I gave you evidence.
That this is somebody else?
Yes.
Okay, where's that?
Okay, when there's a lost beneficiary
okay.
that doesn't exist at the time of insured's death, under Florida law, the beneficiary is the insured's estate.
Okay.
Then it isn't the five.
But nobody inherited that. And that's, you're
nobody
going, that's civil. That is,
what?
That is not even dealt with. I don't get involved in people's life insurance policies. That's
I'm
civil.
Just saying, there's
okay.
no, they told you this, but didn't provide any evidence.
Okay.
I'm providing evidence that there is no document that says that, that the five of them
here's
were
what
beneficial.
Right. Here's what I need.
They're just claiming it.
Correct.
Right.
And I'm not going to do anything with it.
But I'm
not it's
not
for me to
statement.
Do anything.
My statement's fact. There is no
okay.
document at the time of
Correct.
Death. Therefore, it's an asset of the estate
that
is
maybe.
Illegally trying to be converted outside the estate by Mr. Spleen
okay.
and Mr. Moran through a series of fraudulent
okay.
documents to insurance companies through mail and wire fraud, I would
okay.
assume, since they
and
got transferred.
What did I tell you to do with that?
Well, it's part of the estate matters that we're investigating still.
Okay.
Meaning, we're talking about assets stolen from a Florida probate court. In fact, trying to be converted.
Nothing has been stolen, right?
What's trying to be. It's in the process
okay.
of being converted through fraudulent documents,
okay.
et
cetera, right.
to deprive the beneficiaries
okay.
of the estate
okay.
of an asset.
Okay.
Okay. That's why I'm saying it's part of what we're investigating,
okay.
I thought.
And he impersonates a
yes and no.
Trustee.
This
okay.
comes back to, again, civil and criminal.
That was all criminal, I think.
Okay. A lot of this stuff, the sheriff's office would actually tell you you need to have a forensic accountant look at it. Okay?
Right.
Well, no, I don't think that.
And then they would come to me with that already done. You understand that part, right?
I don't see how it applies to the insurance policy.
Just everything in general. Because you're saying... Well, this is the marker isn't working. Oh, here, Detective Miller, there's a big fraud conspiracy. Okay? That's not how it works.
But I'm giving you evidence.
Sort
of. Everything I say.
Sort of. Okay. In a lot of your emails, when I look back to them, it says, this is what's actually valid, or this is what is actually relevant to this piece. You're making that decision, okay? You made that decision in all your emails, what you deem is relevant. And I've asked you.
I'm making those statements to the best of my knowledge based on the evidence I'm submitting.
Well, you're cutting, pasting, taking bits and pieces, throwing it out, and saying what you feel is relevant.
Okay.
That is why, since September, I've asked, let's meet in person, let's meet in person, let's meet in person.
Well, I've never not said to meet in person. I just asked to have counsel present.
You said,
and
you've been told you can
have
anybody
counsel.
Here that you want.
No, that was only after Internal Affairs came
no,
in
sir.
And said that. You told me 50
okay,
times
so
that I could not have counsel present at the meeting. You
mm-hmm.
never said he could be here.
I never said
that
he couldn't be here. I just
you
said you couldn't have a conference call.
Said, you said I couldn't have counsel,
and I
too.
Said, I need to know how you understand
you,
it.
Oh, you exactly. And I told you that the attorney wasn't coming to give you his opinion of what happened.
Okay.
He was here to help me with the legal aspects.
Actually, he told me he had questions for me.
And he might have had questions. There's nothing wrong with that either.
So that's not criminal.
That's not
that...
telling you his... interpretation of
somebody needs
facts.
To do an investigation with that paperwork, and my suggestion is Jacksonville, Illinois.
Well, somebody also needs to do an investigation of Kimberly Moran and Robert Spolino, who are said to have only done one alleged fraud
Correct.
Here, and we have evidence we're giving that may make that very much. That's why I was
it's
trying to hold
evidence.
That's
that is, this is all your speculation.
And their insurance claim form isn't.
What did I tell you to do with that?
Well, I've
I told you to
send it
to Jacksonville.
And I've already submitted it to you. I'm sure you've reviewed it because it was part of the
okay, okay, so him impersonating a bank officer.
So you have all that.
Elliot, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you anymore. You continue.
What am I arguing about?
Because you continue to twist things to your advantage.
Are you putting this all on the record?
Yeah,
somehow
it's all
make
on the
it
record.
Like I'm twisting things. You're twisting things. Okay. How long is this railroad track going?
Okay.
You know,
sir,
at some point,
it's not
I'm
actually getting
you,
very
is...
far. I'd like to maybe take a break and discuss this because
yeah,
I can't make
focus.
Headway. Okay, let's take another break.